5. A New Deal, approximately 23 minutes. Turning to your left, you're standing at the head of a large, 12 feet wide, carpeted room that stretches 25 feet straight ahead in front of you. The entire right-hand side of the room is filled with metal scaffolding, some 6 to 10 feet deep, along the right-hand wall, supporting panels and displays discussing the many rebuilding programs and reforms FDR realized in his first term. Sturdy 2-by-8-inch horizontal wooden planks are interspersed throughout the scaffolding overhead. Industrial construction zone light fixtures, 10 inches tall, with glass domes wrapped in wire cages, are mounted in various places to the underside of these planks. On top of some of the planks are 12-inch tall orange letters spelling out the major issues FDR took on as part of his New Deal: financial reforms, jobs and relief, and rural reforms. Above the planks and signage are many posters of his programs and political cartoons of the day hanging from the ceiling. Turn around 180 degrees to face an orange wall panel to your right as you entered this room that introduces the gallery. A New Deal. This nation asks for action, and action now. Franklin Roosevelt, inaugural address, March 4th, 1933. In his inaugural address, FDR demanded action and action now to fight the Great Depression. He did not waste any time in delivering on that promise. On his first full day in office, he called Congress into special session. He had promised Americans a New Deal. Now he began to construct it. Roosevelt's New Deal would touch virtually every aspect of American economic life and forever change the role of the federal government in the lives of Americans. To the left of this panel is an 8-feet-wide, floor-to-ceiling, black-and-white photograph of FDR sitting in front of 2 black cylindrical microphones at his desk in the White House, delivering his first fireside chat 8 days after taking office on March 12, 1933. Turning to your left, an enlarged 8-feet-square ink-and-pencil cartoon on the wall, about 4 feet in front of you, depicts President Franklin Roosevelt dressed in overalls on a train, labeled U.S. Recovery New Deal Special, while a stylized Uncle Sam character gazes up at him, smiling with a clenched fist. A text panel to the right, in blue, introduces the first 100 days. FDR's first 100 days in office became the most action-packed in American history. During the dark final months of President Hoover's term, Washington, like the nation's economy, seemed to grind to a halt. Now the Capitol suddenly buzzed with activity. No new president had ever moved with such urgency on so many fronts so fast, issuing proclamations and executive orders and driving a torrent of legislation through Congress to stimulate recovery, relieve economic hardship, and enact reforms. Some of FDR's initiatives succeeded. Others failed. Some programs were contradictory. But suffering Americans regained hope as they saw someone finally taking bold action to battle the Depression. To listen to more information about this action-packed era in American history and the massive government action FDR believed would help the nation recover from the Depression, including information about the specific legislation passed during FDR's first 100 days, please press 511 on your audio player. If you choose not to listen to this information, please walk about 6 feet to your left on a 45-degree angle to the first exhibit in the scaffolding. If at any time, within the additional information, you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. A series of blue and orange panels continue down the hallway to your left. Feel free to touch scaffolding along the wall on your right. The panels mounted throughout provide more details of the New Deal reforms, including saving the banks, financial reforms, jobs and relief, and rural reforms. To listen to detailed description taking you through FDR's initial New Deal reforms, including saving and reforming the banks, the end of prohibition, work for youth and the unemployed, rural reforms, and the National Industrial Recovery Administration, or NRA, please press 512 on your audio player. If you choose not to listen to the detailed descriptions of these displays, please turn left and walk about 8 feet forward and turn right. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. In a floor-to-ceiling black-and-white photograph, a middle-aged man, dressed in a buttoned-up, white, long-sleeved shirt, sits with his hands folded in his lap in front of an old-time radio. The left side of the gallery starts with this photo and its heading, Reaching the People. To listen to additional information about FDR's use of radio to communicate with the American people, please press 513 on your audio player. If you choose not to listen to detailed description in this layer, please turn right and walk about 8 feet forward. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. On your left is a replica of a 1930s-era kitchen. You'll note the shift to wood flooring. A white text panel on the left wall of the kitchen reads, FDR's Conversation with America, the New Deal. During his first days in office, FDR needed to calm the fears of an anxious nation and begin to explain his program for economic recovery. To do this, he used the greatest mass communication device of the 1930s, the radio. In his famous fireside chats, he reached out directly to the public, bypassing Congress and the press, to speak to the American people in their homes and workplaces. Thousands responded by writing letters to him. Feel free to sit down in a chair and listen to FDR on the radio in this kitchen of a hard-pressed American family of the early 1930s. Listen also to some of the response letters, both pro and con, that he received. Just ahead of you are three wooden chairs around a small wooden table. On the table is a panel with four push buttons you can press to hear recordings from the era. The top three buttons play two-minute excerpts from several of FDR's fireside chats, while the bottom button plays excerpts of people's responses. On the left wall is a white enameled sink with several white wash basins and a washboard leaning against one wall. Laundry is hung along the side wall, the line hooked onto the side of a white, glass-doored, wall-hanging pantry above a white sideboy cabinet sitting on the floor. On top of the sideboy is a brown wooden cathedral radio. A small picture of FDR hangs on the wall to the right of the pantry. On the right side of the kitchen sits a brown wooden icebox, about 4 feet high, 3 feet wide, and 2 feet deep, with two wooden panel doors. A paper tear-off calendar showing the month of March 1933 hangs above the icebox under a framed piece of needlepoint artwork, Lovest Thou Me. Facing the kitchen table, turn around 180 degrees and move back onto the carpeted surface of this gallery. Another series of orange and blue panels fill the back wall of the hallway among additional scaffolding. Walk 6 feet to your right on a 45-degree angle and turn left 45 degrees. A life-size black-and-white photograph of FDR at the dedication of the Boulder Dam, now known as the Hoover Dam, on the Nevada-Arizona border from September 30, 1935, covers the wall in front of you. To the left, against a blue background, an introduction to this part of the gallery reads, Expanding the New Deal. Boys, this is our hour. We've got to get everything we want. A work program, Social Security, wages and hours, everything now or never. Get your minds to work on developing a complete ticket to provide security for all the folks of this country, up and down and across the board. Presidential Advisor Harry Hopkins, November 1934. FDR's bold action during his first 100 days in office stopped the economy's downward spiral. The Great Depression was far from over, But by 1934, unemployment had dropped from 25% to 21%, the first decrease since 1929. Much of this decline resulted from government work programs, but private investment doubled in 1934. For the first time since 1929, America's economy was growing. Voters rewarded FDR and the Democrats in the 1934 congressional midterm elections. Democrats increased their already enormous margins in the House and Senate. FDR and the new Congress faced growing pressure from the left. Labor activists and populists, frustrated by the recovery's slow progress, pushed for bigger and more far-reaching reforms. Roosevelt's legislative agenda for 1935 already called for an expanded New Deal. His plans included landmark legislation that forever changed American economic life. To your left are additional orange and blue panels on scaffolding. These panels provide details on the expansion New Deal, including labor reforms, wages and hours legislation, Social Security, and the WPA. To listen to the descriptions about FDR's expanded New Deal reforms, please press 514 on your audio player. If you choose not to listen to the information in this layer, please turn left and walk about 12 feet forward and turn left. If at any time you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. You're now standing in front of a small blue alcove about 8 feet wide. Here you will find displays detailing Eleanor's actions addressing racial justice, forging a bold new path as First Lady, and her activities as a newspaper columnist and radio personality. To listen to this additional information about Eleanor Roosevelt, please press 515 on your audio player. If you choose not to listen to detailed descriptions in this layer, please turn right and walk about 10 feet forward. Turn left and walk another 2 feet. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. On the wall to your left is an 8 feet tall poster from the Prairie States Forestry Project, comparing two plains barn scenes. The barn on the left is surrounded by verdant fields, separated by rows of trees, while the barn on the right is seen amidst a sea of wind-blown, barren soil, with the caption, "Trees prevent wind erosion." About 4 feet to the right, on the floor against the wall, is a 2 feet wide by 6 feet tall glass display case with artifacts bearing the likeness of FDR. To listen to more information about the artifacts in this case, demonstrating how FDR loomed large in American popular culture, please press 516 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. From a position about 4 feet in front of the display case, turn to your right and walk about 3 feet, and turn left to the beginning of a series of exhibits on conservation and the New Deal, and the Dust Bowl of the Great Plains. More about FDR's efforts to curb the excesses of capitalism and his many critics and admirers. To listen to more information about these exhibits, please press 517 on your audio player. If you choose not to listen to this information, please turn to your right and walk about 10 feet. Turn to your right again, walk forward another 10 feet, and turn to your left. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Covering the wall in front of you is another large-scale black-and-white photograph of FDR sitting in a wheelchair with his little black dog, Fala, sitting in his lap, nuzzling the hand of a pre-adolescent blonde-haired girl standing next to them. To listen to more information about how the reality of FDR's physical disability contrasted with his public image as a strong leader, please press 518 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Turn around 180 degrees and walk about 8 feet to your left on a 45-degree angle to face the next exhibit entitled The 1936 Election Campaign. A floor-to-ceiling photograph shows Roosevelt amid a sea of people speaking at a giant rally during the campaign. To listen to additional information about FDR seeking a second term in the 1936 election, please press 519 on your audio player. If you choose not to listen to this information, please turn around 180 degrees and walk about 10 feet forward. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return where you left off, press the right arrow key. You have entered the next room of the museum, delving into FDR's second term. The room is about 20 feet long by 12 feet wide. An 8 feet tall blue panel stands on a 45 degree angle in the center of the room, about 4 feet in front of you. There is a similarly oriented second blue panel standing about 5 feet beyond the first one. Large displays cover the left and right walls, with a small theater at the end of the room. Walk about 4 feet forward to the first of the two standalone panels, which reads, Second Term Setbacks. The test of our progress is not whether we add more to the abundance of those who have much. It is whether we provide enough for those who have too little. Franklin D. Roosevelt, Inaugural Address, January 20, 1937. FDR's landslide re-election seemed to herald a new chapter for the New Deal. Elected with expanded Democratic majorities in Congress, the president planned an ambitious second-term agenda. With the economy seemingly on a firm recovery track, Roosevelt turned his attention to deeper problems he saw in the nation. In his inaugural address, he spoke movingly about the country's least fortunate. "I see one-third of a nation ill-housed, ill-clad, ill-nourished," he declared. He challenged Americans to end this poverty. But FDR's plans soon went awry. Flushed with victory, the emboldened president overreached. A divisive battle with the Supreme Court and an unsuccessful effort to purge conservatives from the Democratic Party energized his opponents. Economic setbacks added to his woes. FDR's reform agenda stalled, and events overseas began to take his administration in a very different direction. A giant line graph stretches down the entire left wall of the gallery for about 15 feet. The graph charts deficit spending and unemployment from 1933 to 1942. To listen to more information about this exhibit, please press 520 on your audio player. If you choose not to listen to this information, please turn left about 2 feet and turn right to walk about 12 feet forward down the left-hand side of the gallery. An angled ledge with displays juts out from the wall about 12 inches. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Turn to your left at the end of the graph display to face a video screen about waist high on an angled ledge that juts out about 12 inches from the wall. This is another Confront the Issue interactive touchscreen exhibit entitled The New Deal. Did it work? A 2 feet wide by 1 foot tall video touchscreen covers the left area of this display panel. To listen to the additional information contained in this exhibit, please press 521 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Facing the interactive display, turn around 180 degrees and walk about 6 feet on a 45-degree angle to the right and turn left. Here is the second central 8-feet-tall blue wall panel with text discussing FDR's efforts to remake the Supreme Court and his subsequent attempted purge of party conservatives in 1938. To listen to additional information about these costly political miscalculations, please press 522 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Turn left 45 degrees and walk around the left of this panel, turn right, and move about 6 feet forward to the entrance of a small theater video exhibit called The Enduring New Deal. The film explains how the New Deal has influenced all aspects of our daily lives. To enter the theater and listen to the additional information about this topic in the film, please press 523 on your audio player. You can press the pause button at any time to listen to the film. If you choose not to view this film, please turn right and walk about 4 feet and turn right. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. You're standing at the back of the second central tall blue panel in the room, in front of an exhibit about race relations in the era. To listen to additional information about Roosevelt and race, please press 524 on your audio player. If you choose not to listen to this information, please turn left and walk about 4 feet. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Please turn left and walk about 4 feet. Stretching down to your right, this wall display discusses the gathering storm of the 1930s across the globe, including information on overseas aggression, American isolationism, and the refugee crisis. A text panel on your left reads, "The Gathering Storm." The peace, the freedom, and the security of 90% of the population of the world is being jeopardized by the remaining 10%, who are threatening a breakdown of all international order and law. Surely the 90% who want to live in peace under law and in accordance with moral standards can and must find some way to make their will prevail. Franklin Roosevelt, Address at Chicago, October 5, 1937. For the United States and other democratic nations, the 1930s was a time of growing peril. Across the globe, economic depression bred mass unemployment and despair. In some nations, financial strife aided the rise of totalitarian leaders. These leaders offered simple solutions to their country's problems, solutions based on military expansion, extreme nationalism, political violence, and doctrines of racial superiority. In Europe, German dictator Adolf Hitler and his Italian counterpart Benito Mussolini began to threaten their neighbors. In Asia, the military-dominated government of Japan, hungry for land and raw materials, plotted a path of territorial expansion. As the decade progressed, events overseas cast an ever-widening shadow over America. Increasingly, FDR and the nation found their attention drawn away from domestic economic concerns. To listen to this additional information about the gathering storm, please press 525 on your audio player. If you do not wish to listen to this description, please turn right and walk about 12 feet forward. Then turn left. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. A detailed timeline of world aggression from 1931 to 1939 is shown along the bottom of these two maps. To listen to this additional information, please press 526 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. A series of angled panels about waist high underneath the maps and timeline, starting at the left, read, "Overseas Aggression." Between 1931 and 1939, totalitarian nations in Europe and Asia embarked on paths of aggression and military conquest. In 1931, Japan occupied Manchuria. 6 years later, it began a full-scale invasion of China. In 1935, Italy invaded Ethiopia. In Europe, Germany annexed Austria in 1938 and absorbed much of Czechoslovakia in 1938-1939. Hitler next set his sights on Poland. At first, the democratic nations reacted meekly to these acts of aggression. But by 1939, Britain and France were determined to resist Hitler. They pledged to come to Poland's defense if Germany attacked. Separated by two oceans from these troubles, Americans hoped to avoid involvement in foreign conflicts. Yet some, including President Roosevelt, began to view events overseas with increasing alarm. About 3 feet to the right, a second panel reads, American Isolationism. FDR wanted to deter international aggression. He believed America's physical distance from Europe and Asia no longer assured its long-term security from foreign threats, but his ability to act was restricted by deep-seated American isolationism. Since the nation's birth, the bedrock of American foreign policy was avoiding entanglement in foreign military alliances and conflicts. While Americans sympathized with the victims of aggression, most felt overseas troubles had little to do with their country's national security. Many regretted American involvement in World War I. Concerned about economic difficulties at home, they hoped to stay out of international disputes. With public opinion limiting his options, FDR proceeded with caution. He spoke out against violations of international law, but avoided a direct confrontation with the isolationists. 3 feet to the right, another panel reads, Refugee Crisis. The news of the past few days from Germany has deeply shocked public opinion in the United States. I myself could scarcely believe that such things could occur in a 20th century civilization. Franklin Roosevelt, press conference comments on the Kristallnacht attacks on German Jews, November 15, 1938. Shortly after seizing power in 1933, Adolf Hitler's Nazi regime began to systematically strip Germany's Jews of legal and political rights. As the decade progressed, the Nazis pursued a policy of ever-widening persecution. In desperation, many Jews tried to emigrate to America. But strict U.S. immigration laws and natural origin quotas enacted during the 1920s barred all but a few immigrants of any kind from admittance. FDR was kept informed of the growing refugee crisis by political leaders with ties to the American Jewish community. Through them, he also learned that America's strict immigration quotas were not being fully or fairly administered by the State Department. But because the quota laws enjoyed wide public and congressional support, Roosevelt and his advisors felt he couldn't aggressively pursue policies to admit more Jewish refugees. His actions were largely confined to condemning Germany's behavior. Continue another 3 feet forward to the end of the maps and turn left. A video screen on an angled platform about waist high juts out about 12 inches from the wall. This is another Confront the Issue interactive touchscreen flipbook entitled FDR and the Pre-War Refugee Crisis. The historical debate about this crisis is presented in this exhibit using key documents from the FDR library collections. To listen to this additional information, please press 527 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. From a position facing the pre-war refugee crisis display, turn around 180 degrees and proceed forward just about 5 feet. A 3 feet square glass display case sits on the floor in front of a panel discussing the state visit in June 1939 by England's King George VI. To listen to more information about that event, please press 528 on your audio player. If at any time you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Facing the glass case, turn left and walk about 3 feet. Then turn left 45 degrees. You're now facing the left wall and standing in front of an 8 feet tall glass case, about 4 feet wide and 3 feet deep. Inside this case is a Torah scroll fragment and mantle, presented to President Roosevelt on March 14, 1939, by the National Council of Young Israel. Please note, under Jewish law, a sacred Torah scroll must be deemed unfit for synagogue use before it can be exhibited. A Jewish religious scribe, known as a sofer, has examined this scroll and confirmed that a portion had been removed before it was given to FDR. Turn to your right and walk about 10 feet forward and turn left. Mounted on the wall in front of you are a series of political cartoons reflecting conflicting views and public sentiment about the question of FDR running for a third term. To listen to more information about FDR's decision and information about the 22nd Amendment, please press 529 on your audio player. If at any time within the additional information you wish to return to where you left off, press the right arrow key. Facing this panel, turn right. Note that about 4 feet to your right, on a 3 feet tall, thin metal stand, is a map showing the layout of the museum. Continue walking forward through an open doorway at the end of this hall into a 15 by 15 feet gallery. Walk about another 3 feet and turn right to face a 5 feet wide and 8 feet tall glass display case set into the wall. On a mock pyramid at the top of the case is a 3 feet wide by 2 feet high papier-mâché depiction of FDR as the Great Sphinx of Giza. Several third-term political buttons demonstrating the strong feelings on both sides of the debate are displayed. One reads, "I'm against the third term. Washington wouldn't. Grant couldn't. Roosevelt shouldn't." While another says, "Two good terms deserve another." This concludes the fifth section of our tour. To continue, from a position facing the Sphinx display, turn around 180 degrees and move forward about 6 feet on a slight angle to the right. You can access the audio description for the next section of our tour, FDR's Act of Faith, by pressing the rightmost button in the top row of your player's keypad or press 6 on your audio tour player.